How Not to Sail, sponsored by Latitudes and Attitudes. They ruined my life, so why not let them ruin yours today at latsats.com. And stay tuned today after the podcast for some great news about the new How Not to Sail YouTube channel. So last we spoke, we were at Marathon Marina, getting acquainted with some cruising music and with Fuel Doc Debbie.
Roger that, Debbie. The inside is open if you project the high speed diesel pump.
As always, I recommend starting with episode 1 if you haven't already. But the short story is, I'm sailing from St. Petersburg, Florida toward Miami, overcoming the usual assortment of boat problems and stupid mistakes to attend the Miami Boat Show and launch this podcast. And time is getting short. I have 2 days to sail 100 miles to the Miami Marina and meet the Admiral. But the cutlass bearing that's been giving me trouble since episode 1 seems to be behaving. I've got a full tank of fuel, and it looks like a beautiful day to head east from Marathon. What could possibly go wrong? AM, day 8 of my solo trip to Miami. After getting some coffee at the marina store, I motor west out of Boot Key Harbor and turn left toward the Straits of Florida. Scattered blue-gray clouds surround me, meaning my day could get damp. But my exit from Marathon is beautiful. Once clear of the shallows off Boot Key, I throw up the mainsail and turn back around southeast into the east wind. I've got a long sail ahead of me, and I'm going to be close-hauled, so the engine stays at 1900 RPM. It also helps charge my chart plotter and auto helm. In theory, at least. Once I get far enough south, I tack northeast by east to head up Hawk Channel, hopefully without having to tack again. As far as I can tell, Hawk Channel is really just a strip of water between the Florida Keys to the north and the depths of the Gulf Stream to the south. Markers here and there keep you from running into reefs and whatnot as you head up or down the island chain. Since the Keys bend a little more to the north as you get closer to Key Largo and Miami, I'm hopeful I can stay on starboard tack all day without running over anything dangerous. As I finally head east for the first time in the trip, I realized I've reached another milestone. I am now further east than I've ever been aboard JC Sails, our trip to Cuba having been the furthest south. There are showers to the south-southeast of us, but our little spot on the globe is clear, and the water is an insane bright turquoise. I have a couple of yogurts to celebrate. My celebration is short. From the captain's log, 9:15, passed through some rain and small gusts. Realized leeward running backstay was against main. Moved it forward and got splashed a little. 9:59, sprinkling again, rain ahead to starboard. 10:06, rain, gusts at 22 knots. 11:34, rain ahead again. Damn it, how much of this s***? 12:44. Rain again. It's at this point I start to wish I had a dodger, which for the uninitiated is basically a windshield. It's not like I'm in Michigan or anything, but it is February and even 78 degrees feels pretty chilly with a strong headwind. During one period of sunshine, I strip off my wet pants, leaving me with just a jacket on top and shoes on the bottom, a discreet picture of which I've included in the show notes. It's not all miserable, though. Around mid-morning, right after a vigorous wash and blow, I grabbed one of the most amazing video clips I've ever shot, just off Tom's Harbor and Grassy Key. It's not high tech, mind you. Rather, it's the colors that blow my mind. The upper third is blue-gray sky. The Pacific blue companionway cover dominates the bottom third. And across the middle horizon, stretching around the bow of the boat, is a bright turquoise sea that looks like the world's most beautiful spa bath. I guess I should put that in the show notes too. Finally, a little after noon, we seem to be out of the rain. But it couldn't be all smooth sailing now, could it? As we learned in episode 4, sounds mean a lot on a boat. Your ears learn to pick out anything new. And around 2:30, I notice a new sound. I think I can just barely detect a faint whine in the engine that wasn't there before. That's the kind of sound that makes me nervous. I decide to put out the jib and actually sail for a minute. We heel over way too much, so I roll half the jib back onto the headstay. On the advice of one of my fellow boaters at Marathon, I've decided to make for Rodriguez Key for the night, near Key Largo. I'm hoping I can tuck in behind it on whatever side is away from the wind and waves. But speaking of wind and waves, the difference between an ordeal and adventure is attitude, according to our sponsor.
Smooth seas and blue skies.
Bob had a problem. You see, Bob had a magazine. And then Bob ran into some trouble and lost his magazine, Latitudes and Attitudes. But guess what? America's number one boating lifestyle magazine is back again as Latitudes and Attitudes. Check it out today at latsats.com.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the story. The magazine that I got into cruising with, Latitudes and Attitudes, transformed into Cruising Outpost after Bob Bitchin got screwed over by a very unscrupulous fellow who shut down their offices and moved to South America. Or something like that. But now they're back as Latitudes and Attitudes, and we are super happy about that. Also, don't forget, as a special thank you, you'll be able to get the book, How Not to Sail, for free very soon. So be sure you're subscribed to the podcast, which is also free. And if you don't know how, just go to HowNotToSail.com and you can't miss the subscribe buttons. And as always, you can find the show notes with photos from the episodes, scripts, all kind of cool stuff at HowNotToSail.com/the episode number. So in this case, HowNotToSail.com/9. It's almost as good as a free beer. So, by mid-afternoon, I'm done with the rain, and I've got my pants back on again. And I spot Rodriguez Key not far ahead. Except that it's not. It's Tavernier Key, and I have another hour to go. Finally, at about 4 o'clock, I'm alongside Rodriguez and I'm getting ready to lower the main so I can motor up around the east end when the auto helm goes out. I see an error message on the chart plotter that says, drive stopped. Not helpful when I'm trying to lower the main. In case I didn't cover this before, to lower the main when you're sailing solo, you want to head into the wind and then set the auto helm to maintain that heading while you stumble forward over the cabin top to the mast, make sure the lazy jacks are hoisted to gather up the sail when you lower it, and then let go the halyard while grabbing fistfuls of sail down into the lazy jacks. This can go pretty smoothly if you keep the nose straight into the wind, or pretty not smoothly if you're not straight into the wind. That's where the auto helm comes in. I also have this knob on the steering pedestal that you're supposed to be able to crank down to lock the wheel onto a certain heading, but that's been frozen for the last few years. At any rate, I manage to wrestle the main down into the Lazy Jacks while the boat wanders around, and then crank up the motor and head toward what I've decided is my anchorage for the evening. And would you believe it, I managed to find some skinny water on the way in. Not only that, but the engine whine is still with me. But I don't have far to go, and eventually I tuck in along the north side of Rodriguez Key and drop the hook. But it's not quite time for a beverage yet, at least as far as you know. As I mentioned in episode 4, Sounds, I have a gig on pirate radio, and as part of my trip to the boat show, I've apparently volunteered to help out with the live broadcast from the show. So, as I'm trying to nurse the last of the electricity out of my gadgets, I return a call to Dan at pirate radio.
I'll put it this way, I have an alternator coming to the marina Wednesday. I'm hoping that I did the right guess in advance.
Since I have plenty on my plate already, I'm hoping that the broadcast setup at the boat show will be relatively simple.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, the way that we did it the last boat show was slightly different from Wayne's and was remarkably simple. I don't know if we can still do that.
But of course, we won't be doing it the simple way.
Oh, okay, I do have my laptop just in case.
After wrapping that up, I work on the cover for my dad's book, Up From Hanging Dog, for a while, and finally hit the rack around 10 p.m. after a very long day. I've got a suspect engine and electrical system, and may not be able to charge any of my navigational gadgets. But why worry about that? I'll just start worrying in the morning. Tuesday, February 12th.
So it looks like the alternator is definitely dead. I got another one coming to the marina at Miami, but that doesn't help today.
Things seem to be falling apart a little more than usual.
No auto helm, which I guess is connected. You might think it's a luxury, but it makes it a lot easier to raise and lower the main. I'm just going to raise the main before we get off the anchor today.
I'm determined to get all the way into Biscayne Bay today, so I can be within striking distance of the Miami Marina when my slip hopefully comes open tomorrow.
Fuel just under a half. Let's get this party started.
It's gonna be another long day.
All right, got the main up and the engine on. Time to weigh anchor.
I motor carefully out from behind Rodriguez Key with the main flapping, trying not to take any bottom samples, and then turn left toward Miami. Just after 10 a.m., I make a discovery.
Hot damn, the auto helm's back. Looks like it was just out because of the low system voltage. I'm hand steering mostly, but just had to pop below to celebrate by brushing my teeth.
Cleanliness is next to godliness, they say. By noon, looks like the house batteries are slowly recovering. Keyword, slowly.
Well, the voltmeter is just over 13. I want 14.2 before I cut on the fridge. Hope that food's still good.
I'm not too worried. There's still stuff I can eat, and I plan to be tied up in a slip in downtown Miami by midday tomorrow, God willing. I'm planning to cross back inside the Keys at Angelfish Creek, just north of Key Largo, so I can have a nice sail up the protected waters of Biscayne Bay. The next viable entrance wouldn't be until I get to Miami. Not that I'm totally sure about Angelfish Creek. The chart shows some pretty skinny water around Angelfish Creek, and you know how we feel about that. J.C. Sayles has seen more bottom than a gynecologist, as Bob Bitchin might say, and running aground is not one of my favorite things, no matter how adept I might be at it. At any rate, I'll know soon enough.
Well, here we are at the waypoint for Angelfish Creek. Good thing I got Auto Helm back so I can take the main down before we try this out.
So I get ready to douse the main and head into the channel.
Okay, this will hopefully be some audio of Auto Helm turning on the engine, getting the main down. Maybe getting the main down first. No, we're going to put the engine on.
But in what seems like a recurring theme now, I just made another geographical discovery.
Well, I guess here's the real channel up here. I got a little overexcited. It's two channels up from where I thought.
So, once again, I've gotten a little ahead of myself.
I thought it was kind of unusual that I would be going between two habitated islands here when it looks like it would not be that way on the chart. So it actually goes in between the very top of Key Largo and then this next uninhabited island with no roads connecting.
Not only have I glibly made a significant navigational error, again, to be honest, I'm not sure exactly what works or doesn't work with my electrical charging system at this point. I'm not sure that running the engine is charging the batteries, but it seems certain that with the engine off, only the solar panel is charging the system. And there are two things I know to be true. A, the chart plotter needs battery power in order to show me where I'm going, as do the iPhone and iPad that also have charts on them. And B, the chart plotter, Auto Helm fridge, and 12-volt outlets that charge my iPhone and iPad suck voltage from the batteries. So here's the plan. Motor through Angelfish Creek without the engine blowing up or going aground, then cut off the engine and sail up Biscayne Bay without my navigational doodads running out of juice or going aground in one of the shallow areas I'll need to sail through. What could possibly go wrong? So I line us up with the real entrance to Angelfish Creek and slowly make my way in. I'm a little extra tweaky because, as is not uncommon, my navionics chart seems to contradict itself. The bottom contours show more depth outside and to the right of the channel. And right beyond red marker 2A, a little circle that, when I tap on it, says shoaling. Smack in the middle of the channel. We don't like shoaling. But I stick with the channel, with my blood pressure somewhere in the seek medical help immediately range, until I'm past the shoal area.
Yeah, don't want to jinx it, but we're past what says shallow on the chart at the mouth of the channel. I'm figuratively knocking on wood.
It's actually a very beautiful area if you're not running aground or anything, just north of the super exclusive Ocean Reef Club.
I feel like we're barely making way, but we're doing 5.2 knots just over idle, coming in with the tide.
It's really peaceful gliding through the creek, but before I can get completely through, I have to have one more scare. The depth sounder drops from 13 feet halfway through the creek to 7.6 feet near the exit. I cut the engine to neutral and then creep forward until we're clear. And after 2 days and 70 miles of being on the outside of the Keys, we're finally in Biscayne Bay. Except we're not.
Another case of mistaken location. I was about to say we're in Biscayne Bay, but not quite. We're in Card Sound, and we have one more narrow place to get through, at least.
But most of the pucker factor is over, or so I think. I sail through Cutter Bank and into Biscayne Bay proper, actually enjoying hand steering through some beautiful scenery, when tragedy strikes. I put on auto helm for a brief moment to go forward and take a leak over the port rail, and as I hang on to the port shrouds to steady myself...
Well, just went to take a quick leak and dropped my Kershaw knife that my friend Mark gave me overboard. It got caught on the shroud, and there it went. Kersplash.
It's a great knife. My buddy Mark gave it to me for my for a recent birthday. It's what they euphemistically call an assisted opening knife. I wasn't sure what to make of it at first, but it's become super handy over the last year and a half, and it's consistently been clipped in my right pocket, which is exactly where it was when the shroud caught it and flung it unceremoniously into South Biscayne Bay, where it will repose for eternity, watching the occasional Portuguese man-o-war drift overhead. The afternoon has gone from good to grumpy, and now I realize how hot it is.
So it's 4 minutes after 5 p.m. on Biscayne Bay, and it is very hot. I have my cabbage key shower with a friend towel wrapped around over my sunshirt, because the back of my left arm felt quite warm. Heading up to a decent-looking anchorage, it's only about 6 or 7 miles from the marina destination tomorrow. Hopefully it's not crowded.
We're getting close now, and I'm getting impatient.
Well, we got down to less than 3 knots, so I said screw it. Put the engine on. I can see downtown Miami right off the port bow. By right off, I mean like 8 miles away, 10 miles away.
So just after sunset on the 12th, after 8 days and more than 300 nautical miles, I pull in toward the west side of Key Biscayne, just across the bay from Miami, and I finally drop the hook just 100 yards in front of some multi-million dollar waterfront homes. I'm a little concerned about the wind, but as long as it stays in the east, I should only be dragging anchor away from the shore. I'm actually not sure if there's any restriction on anchoring here, and it's starting to get breezy. But I'm super tired after my 2-day slog, so I'll just worry about that stuff in the morning. What could possibly go wrong? Be sure to join me next episode, where I finally hope to tie up in a slip in downtown Miami and attend a boat show, and promote this podcast that's slowly taking shape in my head. I want to get to some shout-outs, but as promised, I have some great news for my loyal How Not to Sailors. With this episode, I'm releasing a YouTube version with images and video, so you can see what I saw. If you want to avoid searching around, just go to hownottosail.com/YouTube and it will take you right to the channel. I'm going to have much more video coming up, so when you get there, punch the subscribe button and ring the little notification bell to make sure you don't miss the release of unseen video footage from the interview with Captain Bob Bitchin. You won't want to miss that. We're also now coming to you on the Pandora. The nation's largest music streaming service has launched a podcast department, and How Not to Sail has been selected as one of the podcasts included in the rollout. It's already there on the mobile Pandora app, and I think in the browser version. So if you like to listen to Pandora, you can now listen to How Not to Sail there. How cool is that? In other news, I'm planning to be at the St. Pete Boat Show on Saturday, December 7th for the Cruisers Party, and I hear the Admiral will even be there as well. So let me know if you're going, or just say hello at the show. I'll be the guy with the beard. But before we get out of here, I wanted to give a few shout-outs. I wanted to say thanks to author extraordinaire Wayne Stennett, musician extraordinary Miles Brown, and Clay Groves of the awesome Fish Nerds podcast for sharing their pics of them enjoying the How Not to Sail book. And if you have a How Not to Sailor picture to share, you can email it to me at bradford@hownottosail.com or just post it on Twitter or Instagram and tag at How Not to Sail or use the hashtag How Not to Sailor, that's with an ER at the end, and I'll be sure to share the love. Speaking of sharing the love, I really appreciate all the kind words on Amazon for the book that's not even officially released yet. Thanks to Kira, Susan, Bill, Leanne, Mitch, and Jan, and Tanya for the great book reviews of How Not to Sail. And thanks to you if you're one of the kind folks who's given a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, boosting us to a stellar 4.9 out of 5 stars, which is tough to do after 51 reviews. And a special shout out to Dave King for kicking my ass a little bit on the Facebook page about getting this episode out. It truly means a lot to me to hear that you're actually waiting to hear more. I sure appreciate you listening, and I'll see you next time on
How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
Clean glasses are next to godly glasses.